give the world a smile each day.
Welcome to Words to Encourage, the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church of Grove City, Ohio. Everyone needs encouragement. We all need to be uplifted. With today's encouragement, here's our pastor, Stan Slater.
With a smile, a bright sunny smile.
Welcome to Words to Encourage. This is the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church. We are located in Grove City, Ohio, and I'm Brother Slaybaugh. Well, good Thursday to you. And how was church last night? My, oh my, what a delight we had with the Clinton Burden family, and to have them check in from us from the mission field, and what a great work God's doing with them, in them, through them, there in that difficult country, a restricted access country, but we're so grateful for how God is taking care of them and using them to reach folks with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was a wonderful service together. I hope you had a good church service where you were, that you were in your place, and that you were a blessing to your church and to your pastor, and that God met with you and spoke to your heart. I want to remind you again of the Sunday services here at 9:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning, and then it's 5:30 Sunday evening, and that'll be our choir cantata, The Richest Family in Town. Boy, will you enjoy this. What a great message and great music to go with the message, and we'll enjoy our time together Sunday evening. So come on out and join us. You'll enjoy the music and the just a great storyline and message in the cantata on Sunday evening, and you'll get a special treat at the end of the service as well. All right, and we'll look forward to that on Sunday, December 11th. Now, if your Bible's nearby, Matthew 16 is where I'd like to go today, Matthew chapter 16. And notice, if you will, with me, verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Well, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." It's interesting, another place, when Jesus came into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, the scripture says, and they asked this question, "Who is this?" Now, that would be a rhetorical question, but here Jesus is asking his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" He wanted to hear from them who he is. Who is Jesus to you? He answered, to some, he was Jeremiah. To some, he was Elijah. To some, he was just one of the prophets. He said, "But who am I to you?" And it was Peter who answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You understand? I understand some think he's John the Baptist. Why? Because he preached repentance. And Jesus was a far greater preacher than John. He spoke with authority that was astonishing. He not only spoke the word of God, he is the word of God. He was the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. John only pointed to the Lamb of God. Jesus is the Lamb of God. So I see him being John the Baptist. Elijah, because of his prayers. Remember, Elijah prayed and the heavens closed up and didn't rain for 3.5 years. Because they knew Jesus had a powerful prayer life. The disciples never asked him to teach or ask him to teach them how to preach or to work miracles. But they did say, "Lord, teach us to pray." Maybe Jeremiah, maybe because of his compassion. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. He was known for his tears. And maybe Jesus was known for being moved to tears from his view of a multitude and being like a sheep with no shepherd to the tomb of the one whom he loved, when the shortest verse in the Bible simply says Jesus wept. And today when we hurt, we know he hurts right alongside us. His heart breaks for us, and his tears are a language that God understands. The Bible says Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But what about our day? That was the Bible day. What about our day? What do the critics of our day say? Well, Albert Schweitzer said that Jesus was a deluded fanatic who futilely threw away his life in blind devotion to a mad dream. George Bernard Shaw said Jesus was a man who was sane until Peter hailed him as the Christ, and who then became a monomaniac. His delusion is very common delusion among the insane. An actress, I believe, is Gwyneth Paltrow. She said, "Religion is the cause of all the problems in the world. I don't believe in organized religion at all." Karl Marx said, "My object in life is to dethrone God and destroy capitalism." That's the critics of our day. The cults of our day are involved as well. Charles Russell, who founded the Jehovah's Witnesses, said, "The man Jesus is dead, forever dead. Brigham Young, one of the early leaders of the Mormon religion, said Jesus Christ was a polygamist. Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, were his plural wives, and Mary Magdalene was another." My friend, that's blasphemy. The Christian Scientist Mary Baker Eddy said God is individual, indivisible. A portion of God could not enter man, neither could God's fullness be reflected by a single man. But the Bible teaches otherwise. The Bible says that in him, in Christ, dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's what the scriptures teach. The Muslims say Jesus was only a prophet. Others would say he's a good man or a great teacher or a great philosopher. Those are the cults of our day. What about the church of our day? If you were to ask me just who is Jesus Christ, I could tell you what the scriptures say about him. He's found throughout the Bible. The entire Bible tells us of Jesus Christ from Genesis to Revelation. In Genesis, he's the ark that saved Noah and his family. In Exodus, he's the burning bush in the desert. In Leviticus, he's our scapegoat. In Numbers, he's the water from the rock. In Deuteronomy, he's the law of God. In Joshua, he's our city of refuge. In Judges, he's the dew on Gideon's fleece. And he's the sword of the Lord. In Ruth, he's the handfuls on purpose, and he's our kinsman redeemer. In Samuel, he's the stone David used to slay Goliath. In Kings, he's the fire that fell on Mount Carmel. In Chronicles, he's the glory that fills the Lord's house. In Ezra, he's the temple. In Nehemiah, he's the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. In Esther, he's the Lord who guides the king. In Job, he's our redeemer. In the Psalms, he's the shepherd. In Proverbs, he's our wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, he's the one worth living for. In the Song of Solomon, he's the bridegroom. In Isaiah, he's the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah, he's the potter. In Lamentations, he's the God who weeps over his children. In Ezekiel, he's the wheel within a wheel. In Daniel, he's the fourth man in the fire. In the minor prophets, he's the God of judgment. In Matthew, he's the king. In Mark, he's the servant. In Luke, he's the son of man. And in John, he's the son of God. In Acts, he's the converter of Saul. He's the head of the church. In Romans, he's the road to salvation. In Corinthians, he's the cornerstone. In Galatians, he's the fruit of the Spirit. In Ephesians, he's the one who makes us accepted in the Beloved. In Philippians, he's the one through whom we can do all things. In Colossians, he's the one in whom dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Thessalonians, he's the one who will descend with a shout. In Timothy, he's the object of our studies. In Titus, he's the blessed hope. In Philemon, he's freedom for the slave. In Hebrews, he's our great high priest. In James, he's the one who should give out crowns of life. In Peter, he's the one whom we can cast all our care because he cares for us. In 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, he's the source of our fellowship and the source of all truth. In Jude, he's the one by whom we can make a difference. And in Revelation, he's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Oh, my friend, the entire book is about Jesus Christ. That's who Jesus is. To the artist, he's the altogether lovely one. To the architect, he is the chief cornerstone. To the astronomer, he's the son of righteousness. To the baker, he's the living bread. To the banker, he's the hidden treasure. To the biologist, he is the life. To the builder, he is the sure foundation. To the doctor, he is the great physician. To the educator, he is the great teacher. To the farmer, he's the Lord of harvest. To the geologist, he's the rock of ages. To the horticulturalist, he's the true vine. To the juror, he's the faithful and true witness. To the jeweler, he's the pearl of great price. To the lawyer, he is the counselor and advocate. To the newspaper man, he's the good tidings of great joy. To the optometrist, he is the light of the eyes. To the philanthropist, He is the unspeakable gift. To the philosopher, he is the wisdom of God. To the preacher, he is the word of God. To the sculptor, he is the living stone. To the servant, he is the good master. To the statesman, he is the desire of all nations. To the student, he is the incarnate truth. To the theologian, he is the author and finisher of our faith. To the toiler, he is the giver of rest. To the sinner, he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. You might say that's who the Bible says that he is. But I ask the question today, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? Oh, I know. We looked at who they said he was in Bible days and who the critics said he was in their day, who the cults say he was, who the church says that he was. But what would you say? Who is Jesus Christ to you? I'd like to testify to you. He's my substitute. The Bible says in 1 John 4 and verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Romans chapter 5 and verses 6 through 8. The Bible says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, when he knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Spurgeon, on his deathbed, said, there's deathbed theology. You know what it is? Christ died for me. Jesus took my place. Jesus suffered for me. I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. I should have hung on the cross in disgrace. But Jesus, God's Son, took my place. My Savior, the anguish and the pain and the suffering I would have went through in hell, Jesus did it for me. He was trodden down as an enemy that I might be welcomed as a friend. He surrendered to hell's worst that I might attain heaven's best. He was cast off that I might be brought in. He was stripped that I might be clothed. He was groaned that I might have endless song. He was wounded that I might be healed. He was athirst that I might drink. He was tormented that I might be comforted. He was made ashamed that I might inherit glory. He entered darkness that I might have eternal light. He wept that I might have all tears wiped from my eyes. He experienced reproach that I might receive welcome. He bore a thorned crown that I might receive a triumphant crown. He bowed his head that I might uplift mine. He closed his eyes in death that I might gaze on unclouded brightness. He died that I might forever live. My friend, he's my substitute. He took my place. Yes, I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. I should have hung on the cross in disgrace. But Jesus, God's Son, took my place. I got more to say about this, so come back tomorrow, will you? And let's continue, who is Jesus to you? And until tomorrow, this is Brother Slayball reminding you, be good to everyone, because everyone's having a tough time.
Thank you for listening today. If this broadcast was an encouragement to you, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us by email at pastor@bbcgrovecity.org, or you can call us at area code 614-875-2190. We invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church at 2758 Home Road in Grove City, Ohio. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for the morning worship service. We meet back together at 5:30 for our evening service and on Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. We also host the RU Recovery Ministry, a faith-based recovery program bringing transformation to hurting people in our community. We meet every Friday at 7 o'clock in the evening. You can find more information at our website about this and other ministries of Bible Baptist Church at bbcgrovecity.org. We hope that today these were truly words to encourage. Words to Encourage is paid for by the generous members and supporters of the Bible Baptist Church in Grove City, Ohio.